I invite you to pray with me our prayer for illumination, praying together as one. Guide and teach us, O Lord, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, in your will discover peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Okay, so I'm going to be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. And then my friend Henry is going to be reading from Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. So I hope if I need help, Henry's going to be able to help me. Very, very familiar passage from the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments. Moses summoned all Israel and said, "Hear, O Israel, the decrees and laws I declare in your hearing today. Learn them and be sure to follow them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. It was not with our fathers that the Lord made this covenant, but with us, with all of us who are alive here today. The Lord spoke to you face to face out of the fire on the mountain. At that time, I stood between the Lord and you to declare to you the word of the Lord, because you were afraid of the fire and did not go up the mountain. And he said, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who loved me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Honor your father and mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor, and you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land, his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Israel, listen to me." And it's Henry's turn. I'm so sorry.
Deuteronomy 6:4-9. Israel, listen to me. The Lord is our God. The Lord is the one and only God. Love him with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Love him with all your strength. The commandments I give you today must be in your hearts. Make sure your children learn them. Talk about them when you are at home. Talk about when you walk along the road. Speak about them when you go to bed. And speak about them when you get up. Write them down on your hands as a reminder. Also tie them on your forehead. Write them on your door frames of your houses. Also write them on your gates.
I'm so glad I got to do it.
Me too, and you did an awesome job.
Every October 6th.
Maybe. Every October 6th could be Henry's day to read scripture. Every October 6th. So great to see everybody. I'm so lucky because I saw you all already this morning. So does anybody have rules in their classroom at school?
Yes.
Right. Do you know, some of my friends at school, my teacher friends, they actually talk with their friends about making rules. So my friends are 3-year-olds, so we have pictures up, and we sing a song about our rules. You want to hear my song? This is how it goes. And we use motions. So, Brady, look at me. This is what we do. And this is when we're sitting at group time. Henry, and we want everybody to listen. Henry, I need you to sit. This is what I'm talking. This is my rule. Wait to hear this. Goes like this. Ready? Eyes are watching, ears are listening, voices quiet, bodies calm. This is how we listen, this is how we listen at group time, at group time. So if Mrs. Weiss starts singing that, all my little friends start singing that with me and they know it's time to listen. So we have rules in school, and I'm sure you do in your classrooms. We have rules at home, and rules are important. We have rules at my camp in the summer. 1 second, Holland. You know why we have rules? They keep us safe. I always tell my friends at school, it's so everybody has fun. Like, if we didn't share with one another, then not everybody would have fun because we all wouldn't be sharing.
You know what?
So Henry and I both read today from God's Word, the most important book. And, you know, God's rules, they're more than rules. You know what I like to think of them of? They're his ways of showing us how to love him and to love others. My friend Emily and I were talking about this in Sunday school this morning. Remember, God made that covenant. A covenant is when people come together and make a special, special promise. God made a special promise not only to Abraham long, long time ago, thousands of years ago, but to all of us. We're all part of God's family, and he promised all of us that he would be faithful to us. They did, but they rebuilt it. And you know what? God gave us these commandments so to remind us of him being faithful to us and for us to be faithful to him. And he knew we were all going to live together. So these commandments help us not only to be faithful to God, but to show God's love, to show how much we love and care about him and others. And the most important commandments are to love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, all our everything, and our neighbor, our friends, everyone as ourself. And how? Okay, what's your question? Did you forget it?
Could I ask in the microphone?
Uh-huh.
All right. So, I don't know why I read the scripture. Why did I read the scripture?
That was nice of you to read the scripture because
I signed up.
You signed up, and thank you. Yes, Holland.
Everyone should be nice to each other.
That's right. Everyone should be nice. That's a great rule. That's for sure. So anyway, friends, when we think about the commandments, do you want to say something, Michaela?
Be kind to all your friends.
That's awesome. How else can we show people that we love them?
I want to say something. Celebrating a person's birthday.
Celebrating a person's birthday. Sure. One more. Well, I'm going to tell you, we follow God's commandments. That's all the rules that we need. And usually his commandments cover anything we'd ever need to know to love each other and mostly to love God. So let's pray to God, okay, and thank him. Dear God, we are so thankful for this beautiful day and for these beautiful children and everyone here today. We're most especially thankful for the covenant that you made with us. We are so blessed to be your people and so thankful. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us always to show you how much we appreciate your love and faithfulness to us by being faithful to you, by loving you with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor, every person that we meet, family and friends, as we love you each and every day of our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks, friends. Have a great week, okay?
Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Familiar passage from Scripture today, the Ten Commandments. I remember growing up seeing these written on pieces of like artwork or something in my Catholic grandparents' house, almost like two tablets with all of the thou shalt nots, you know, and of course the King James English, which is, you know, if you want to strike fear into the heart of kids, address them in King James English. There's nothing quite so stern or terrifying as thou shalt not murder, you know, just, oh, it's so, you know, ooh. What I find interesting, though, about the Ten Commandments is that in Hebrew, they're not called the Ten Commandments. They're called the Ten Words. And the first word for us in the Ten Commandments, what is the first commandment? Anyone remember? Anybody? You know, they say that the commandment you don't remember is the one that you're most likely to break. Okay, all right. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Right? That's the greatest commandment from Jesus. Very good. We're on to something there. Okay. Right. You shall have no other gods before me. Yeah, thanks, Bob. In Hebrew, the first word is not actually a commandment. The thing that God starts out with, the first word for the Hebrews is, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of slavery in Egypt. And then tacked onto the end, you shall have no other gods before me. But first things first, the first thing that God wants the people to know is that there is grace. There is relationship. God doesn't just arbitrarily hand down rules for the people like some supreme taskmaster. God wants them to know first that they have been given grace. In our worship service, the reading of the law comes at a very specific time. It doesn't come before the prayer of confession, which is where you think it might come, because if we read the law, we would see all the ways we had broken it, and it might compel us to confession. We confess that we haven't lived up to these rules. But instead, we place the reading of the law after the assurance of forgiveness. After we have received God's grace, just like it is in the book of Deuteronomy. First, we hear a word of grace, and then the law is our faithful response to the grace of God in our lives. In the Heidelberg Catechism, the section on the Ten Commandments comes in the section of the Catechism about gratitude. Following the commandments is our faithful and loving response of thanksgiving to what God has already done in our lives. The commandments are not a follow this as a way to get into God's good graces. Instead, they are a you're in God's good graces anyway, so here's how you live out a life of gratitude to God. I love that. I love that because the first, it seems so punitive. It seems so. If you don't follow this, you know, God is going to hurl lightning bolts out of the sky at you, which is not at all consistent. I mean, after all, the first time that the people received these commandments, Moses is up on the mountain of God, Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb, depending on what translation you're using. And while God is in the act of writing on a stone tablet with God's finger, the people are down below dancing around a golden calf. This in Deuteronomy is actually the second reading of the law. That's what Deuteronomy means in Latin. Deutero meaning second, and nomos meaning law, the second time around. This is Moses addressing the people after their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Now, this is what I want you to notice about this, my friends, is that Moses said, God made this covenant with you, not with your ancestors, but with you. Which is not specifically the case, right? It's their parents, the ones who were unfaithful, the ones who had to wander around in the wilderness, or they all died off. As they all died off, that was the generation that received this covenant. So why is it then that Moses says to the people, impresses upon them, this is not a covenant for your parents, this is God's covenant with you? Because God makes this covenant with every generation. God is not just the God of our ancestors. God is not just the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. God is not the God of Albert and Dolores, Leon, my grandparents' names who have died. God is the God of Chris and Henry and Holland and Caroline. And their kids, and their grandkids. Every generation, God makes this covenant. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of your slavery in Egypt. The law is a gift from God. A gift from a God who loves us and wants us to live well-ordered lives. One of the passages from the Book of Church Order in the Reformed Church in America. Now, everyone wake up for the Book of Church Order, believe me. In the Constitution, it says that the will of Jesus Christ is lived out when a church operates according to a decent and good order. God wants us to live orderly lives. The Holy Spirit flows through us as we live out our lives according to the promises of God. The law is not something that is etched in stone for us to place up on a wall somewhere and rigidly follow as if our lives depended on it. The law is there for us as a living, active, faithful response to the grace of God in our lives. The law, the gospel, the different parts of our service, they all point us towards this gift of God's grace. The gospel is proclaimed in every aspect of this. In fact, that's how Scripture works for us. not just written down by someone thousands of years ago, but a living document that the Holy Spirit works through, opening our eyes to new realities in new circumstances, to new cultures. I wrote in my newsletter article this week about Christianity booming in the developing world as new cultures are given access to the good news of Jesus Christ, and it's transforming their cultures. It's transforming their communities. It's making a difference in the lives of people, and it's exciting and it's growing. And it's being attempting to being stamped out by tyrants and oppressive regimes and governments. Why? Because a free people is incredibly threatening to some. A people who can live out their lives of service and joy are a dangerous people. Dangerous because of the freedom and the celebration and the joy that transcends all of these oppressive rules. The passage that Henry read for us, we heard about how we hand this down to our children, the ways that we place it before us. If you have any friends that are devout Jews, you'll know that the words that Henry spoke are spoken twice a day in Hebrew among devout Jews. Shema Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. Twice a day. Write it on your doorposts. Wear it in boxes on your foreheads and attached to your hands. Carry it with you out into the world. These reminders, these constant, everyday reminders of this eternal covenant that God has made with God's people. How different would our world be if we carried this knowledge with us everywhere, if we practiced our faith in such a way that the promises of God were foremost on our minds at any given moment. I think perhaps it's most powerful when a child reads this. In fact, I've heard of churches where every Sunday the reading of the summary of the law comes from a child. Because it's incredibly simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And you can't do that, Jesus says, without loving your neighbor as you love yourself. On those two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. This is God's covenant with God's covenant people. It is grace. It is gospel. It is good news for those who are in need of it. And so now, my friends, it's time to experience the grace of God in a very tangible way by gathering around the table of our Lord. But first, let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of the law and for the gift of grace that reminds us that first and foremost, you are our God. You love us, you protect us, you care for us, and you have given us these words to live by. I pray that we would live well-ordered lives that demonstrate to our world, to our communities, to our families, what it is to live according to your grace, the mercy that you've shown us. Lord, may we live lives of gratitude to you in all that we say and all that we do. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together now, if you're able, as we prepare to gather around the Lord's table by affirming our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.